You also know that we chatted extensively about the ruling earlier today around the MK party, and the ANC is attempting this case here to have the MK party, trademark removed, right? And then we've had Fikile Mbalula commenting about it. We've also had a chat about the implications of that with the guest that we had a few minutes ago. In fact, early on with Professor Musa Qulu, and we can have a podcast of that as well. And the conversation we had around the implications of MK with Lukhona Mguni also pretty shortly. But I'll tell you what, we now have another issue of really understanding intellectual property and trademarks with regard to the MK party and the ANC, but maybe beyond that as well, right? So with me is Karen Kitchen, who's a trademark attorney from Breer and Kamp IP Attorneys. Karen, appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us here on the National Pulse.
Thank you, Ashraf. Thank you for having me this evening.
Thanks. Looking forward to learning lots around trademarks and the implications thereof. Well, I'll tell you what, before we get moving with that, let me replay the comments made by the Secretary General, the SG, of the ANC, Fikile Mbalula, earlier today after the court ruling effectively at this point in time allows them to appeal, but it does say at this point in time that the ANC does not have a case. He said this.
We are not comparing two logos, the ANC flag and MK. We are challenging the trademark that has been ceded to the ANC. It's ours. The judge does not compare the logos, does not address that issue. He addresses issues that were not ventilated in court. That's what he has done in terms of the judgment that he has given to you. Go and check. And those who are in court as well, go and check that. Instead, he agrees with our opponents that they made a cogent case about the fact that we wasted the time of court and the matter does not actually belong there on the basis of that punitive measures. Are actually granted to us. We will appeal all of those in terms of the court above. And we appreciate the fact that in the judgment, the issue that you are addressing, he has granted us the right to appeal. That's what he has done. So if you read the judgment and you understand, you say, are we going to appeal to the same court? We will decide, but he has granted us the right to appeal already. Meaning, I no longer want to deal with this matter. Go and see for yourself somewhere else. You know, I'm out of this, and so on. So the issue of the trademark and Umkhonto weSizwe goes beyond an election to us. The issue of the election and Umkhonto party of Jacob Zuma contesting, we left that issue in Mangaung. Even though we believed that we still had a strong case, we left it there. So Jacob Zuma and his party are on the ballot. So the issue that we contesting Mr. Zuma, we cannot contest a party, a person who has made up his mind about where he wants to go to. He wants to form a party. He wants to bring the ANC below 50% for whatever political reasons. He has outlined that when he launched the party on the 16th of December. So we're very clear. How do you stand against a person who has made up his mind?
Okay, that's the voice of the SG of the ANC. So let's understand that, the implications thereof, but certainly also the broader issue around trademarks too, right? My guest, Karen Kitchen, with us already, right? So Karen, you heard those comments firstly. Let me ask you this first up then. What do you understand, or what should we understand when we talk about trademarks?
Yes, so a trademark is essentially, it can come in different forms. It can be in the form of a word or in the form of a logo. So if we look at the case in question, we are talking about the word mark Umkhonto weSizwe. We're talking about perhaps the acronym being MK, which is an abbreviation of the word mark Umkhonto weSizwe. And then we're also looking at logo trademarks in the form of a stylized pictorial. So, for example, the warrior device in with regards to this specific case.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, carry on. Carry on.
Yes. So when one has a brand, and it comes in the form of perhaps certain word marks and certain logos and things like that, ideally they should aim to acquire, let's call it, the title deed in that in and to that trademark in the form of acquiring a registered trademark right. It's ideal to do that. And how does one go about that? One would typically do a search on the CIPC's trademarks register to first determine if that word or logo is available for use and registration in their particular category of interest, i.e., political activities, or if we're talking about a general manufacturer of goods or goods or services, if they're coming up with a new name for a beverage, then they would look in the beverage class to see if their potential trademark or brand name is available for use and registration, or if it has been potentially already registered by, let's say, another third party. So best case scenario is to acquire a registered trademark right. There are also common law trademark rights, and this is where the issue gets a bit complex. And this is when a party acquires rights over time through use of that trademark. So that is when they don't actually secure the registered title deed, but they still acquire a common law right through use. Ideally, one should get the title deed because it aims to help that party evidence that they are the rightful owner by in the form of getting a registration certificate, which proves their title in and to that trademark.
So if I look at, I mean, the example of a trademark, and then once you have a trademark, you want to have protection so others can't use it. So let me look at a classic example of where I am right now. There's SAFM
Yes.
radio, right? And clearly we do not want
Correct.
to have another SAFM radio. So would SAFM radio be protected if you, for example, wishes to start a radio station and call it SAFM radio or not?
Yes, so the question would then be, A, does SAFM have a common law right of use that they've established through use? And I think we can quite kind of comfortably say the SAFM has acquired certain common law rights in its trademark SAFM through extensive use of that name over a period of time in relation to broadcasting and radio-related services and activities. It would assist the SAFM in litigating or enforcing those rights if it had also gone to the CIPC and filed a trademark application for SAFM in the category of goods or services that cover radio-related services and activities.
Okay, got that.
So then you would have all your ducks in a row, so to speak, that would assist you in enforcing those rights against any third parties that potentially wanted to ride on your coattails,
All
per
right, so
se.
bottom line to that is that if you register the trademark, then you have protection. If you don't register the trademark, but you have common law rights through usage, just through absolute awareness of who uses that more than anybody else, then you should be okay. But first prize is still to register it, right? Now let's go
Correct,
back. I am
correct.
thinking about the country South Africa, for example. I mean, who owns the rights to the name South Africa? If you don't know it, I don't know it either. Okay, so I mean, it's an interesting one, right? Let's move on to the ANC versus MK. So, in this case here, I mean, does the and maybe we rehashing something that's been spoken about before, but what has the ANC registered in terms of the Umkhonto we Sizwe or MK, both the naming as well as the images? What have they done or not done that's got them into a vulnerable position right now?
Yes, so what unfortunately has transpired here is the ANC, I think we could comfortably say, has established common law rights in the Umkhonto weSizwe name and potentially the logo through use. Now, so they effectively have a common law right. Then where the issues get a little bit co more complicated here is that they then let's I don't want to use the word scrambled, but they acquired a registered trademark right via another third party By way of a deed of assignment that I believe the effective date was during September 2023, but it was only recorded more recently on the CIPC's trademarks register. So the ANC have put forward a case to say that they have a registered trademark right that they have acquired from a third party, but they also have common law rights established through use over an extended period of time in and to the Umkhonto weSizwe name and the logo being the warrior device.
And therefore, this issue of the MK wanting to use the name and the images as well, and the ANC effectively attempting to block that, does the ANC have a case?
Look, it's a very, very tricky one. I think certainly the ANC absolutely has a case where issues get a little bit complicated. And if we refer to the judgment that was handed down earlier, the complexity is also the issues were raised around the class that the registered trademark that the ANC acquired was registered in Class 41, which generally covered cultural activities and legacy project work and things like that, right? And the MK party put forward an argument to say that they are in the field of political activities, which are different to the services that are effectively covered by this registered trademark that the ANC acquired. By virtue of this deed of assignment, with the effective date being September 2023. So, what the ANC have also done is they've filed various other trademark applications that are still pending. They have covered political activities and services in various other categories, but those are not yet registered trademarks, right?
Okay, so they've done it
So,
after the event in terms of this play now by the MK party.
exactly. So there are huge complexities in this case, and certainly I think what adds an additional element of complexity to this case is obviously one can argue, and I think this was argued before the court, that is the ANC actually the rightful owner of the common law rights in Umkhonto weSizwe? Or is it a right or a name that various individuals or parties or entities could have rights in and to? And that also adds a whole extra kind of layer of complexity. And I think a comparison was made with the device of a closed fist, and how lots of parties use that. Can you say any one specific movement has rights in the closed fist device?
How
And similarly, the
fascinating.
MK party have argued the same on the with regard to the Umkhonto weSizwe
Okay,
trademark.
well, we know the ANC is taking this on appeal, so we'll see how that plays out. But here's the last thing in 30 seconds, which is the first point
Yes.
made by Fikile Mbulula. He said, "We are not comparing logos, we are comparing trademarks." And I found that rather puzzling.
It is rather puzzling, and certainly with the judgment that's been handed down, there's complexities in that there are trademarks, but those are essentially in the form of logos or word marks. And they could be, as I said, common law or statutory trademark rights. And I think what the judge found here was that the ANC will not actually be using the registered trademark on the ballot papers, the mark that's in contention. They will be using their ANC branded logo, which is different to the MK's actual warrior device that they are using on the ballot box, on the ballot papers.
Okay, lots for us to think about. Karen Kitchen, trademark attorney from Breedenkamp IP Attorneys. Well, there you are. Every reason for you to really fully understand intellectual property, branding, who owns what, and how the brand, personal and business brands, plays out, not just in the personal domain, but in the public domain as well.